for now, I'm your host, who isn't a host. I'm like your ghostly host because I'm going to be gone now. I'm going to throw all that out there. It's really stupid.
Are you our... are you our version of the Eurozone? Are you... who is your Eurozone, Ahmet?
Oh, you're right. I am God. sorry. My Eurozone, I don't know. I'd have to really think hard about that. I like the one I think, but I think I'd be like a Eurozone with a monocle and I'd be red instead of orange. I like where this is going.
Mm, yeah. I really love that Eurozone has become a thing. It's such a nice, it's so hilarious. There's just so many of these.
I'm looking that up now. maybe we can throw that in the show notes. So, like, everybody listening, this is a typical start to an episode, and we'll see how we deal with it in editing, but an emergency came up at home, and I need to leave, even though I made some notes and was planning to talk about these episodes, which I liked a lot, with everybody, but I gotta go, so I will leave it to everybody else, and ciao for now.
Later, boss.
See you, chief.
Bye-bye.
Okay, well, I guess that leaves the rest of us here to discuss Kamen Rider Ghost number 36, Bodacious Idol Declaration, and Kamen Rider Ghost number 37, Everyone's Paths.
Our writer for these two episodes was Hasegawa Keiichi. Our director, unsurprisingly, given the content of these episodes, is Koichi Sakamoto.
Really?
Though it was surprisingly very, like, uncreepy for Sakamoto.
Yeah, I was just like, thinking, there were no weird
shots of any of them.
Yeah, I don't know, those idol singing concert scenes did go a little too long.
They were long, but, like, they went on for a little while, but they weren't creepy.
There
was nothing, like, visually creepy about any of these girls in this episode, and you know what? I will take it. I will take the Sakamoto that makes me watch idols for, like, 45 seconds over the Sakamoto that wants to do, like, a 15-second pan shot up a girl's legs. So...
It was a full minute.
Was it a full minute? I didn't time it.
It was.
When I rewatched the episode, I was watching it at, like, 2.5 times speed, so I'm not fully aware of how long it was.
I think it was, like, a minute. It definitely felt like it went on too long, so, yeah.
You know what? I don't care, because none of it was creepy.
That is true.
So,
you know what?
I will take it.
Mm.
It is a lot better than the one anime I watched that had a 3-minute music video in the middle of a 2-episode show.
Oh boy, yeah, that's always fun, isn't it?
That was some good times. But let's actually get into this.
Yeah, before I start just recounting terrible, horrible Macross memories.
Delta is pretty good. So far.
Glad to hear.
So, I will get us into focus actually, now.
I've been waiting like 4 weeks for this. Please let me have this
focus.
One, dude.
Focus.
I've been waiting 4 weeks to talk about this.
Good.
I've literally been holding everything I've written here in for 4 weeks.
Sono, you're ruining my transition. I was making this focus thing because it was on the notes. And now...
That's my job. I have to ruin everything.
No. Why can't you focus? What are your thoughts on this and or these episodes? And what if any messages came into focus for you? Yes, I saved it.
Pulled it out. Last second. Okay. Boom.
I'm going to start with the fact that the irony of this arc that starring Okanaka Makoto being about idols is not lost on me, and I think was lost on no one.
Yeah.
But, you know, since I trust y'all to cover the deeper meaning of this arc, and since we're all usually kind of on the same page, I instead want to focus on this purely narrative visual thing that I latched onto because Ghost is brilliant in its visual storytelling.
In that it has visual storytelling?
Yes.
Unlike and some also... shows about beep beep cars and rotten fruit that should be in the trash.
I didn't know that scene with the police chief barking at Shinosuke was very evocative.
But like not only does Ghost have visual storytelling, it's really good at it. 36 starts off with a lot of this kind of weirdly cartoony stuff between Elaine fighting Sanzo's buddies that I'm not educated enough to talk about, and, you know, Akari and Onari at the audition. And honestly, it really worked for me, particularly on the level of Akari. And, you know, I kind of expect this sort of thing from Onari just in his role, so I don't really even blink twice at him and his potentially using his slightly warped knowledge of the music business to help Akari out. But with Akari wasn't taking the audition seriously, because why would she? The whole reason she agreed to do this is to investigate Deep Connect and find Igor. And all she really has to do is, you know, all she has to do is sing and dance, and it doesn't matter, because being an idol is so easy. And, you know, then she does it, and she comes back, and she's cheering that, of course, she made it in her investigation and progressed, because it was all just as easy as she thought. Not a problem, not important, and Honami just shuts it down. Because being an idol is not easy. It's time-consuming and physically exhausting, and there's no promised rewards. And if Akari, you know, kind of goes into it not taking it seriously, she could ruin the careers of four people pursuing their childhood dream the same way that Akari is with physics. And so Akari, you know, steps it up, and she puts her blood and sweat and tears into it, because if being an idol is serious, then she's gonna be serious, and she puts everything she has into learning the dance and learning the song and learning what being an idol means to Honami. And, you know, even while she's practicing with Honami, she comments about, oh, wow, this is actually pretty hard. And, you know, once she's pursuing that with Honami, she has this full understanding of what being an idol means to her and the amount of effort that it takes. And that's kind of where Akari learns where the fun and joy in being an idol is. And Akari is this caricature in 36 for the specific reason of showing us how she views idols and what being an idol is and what she's doing. And her presentation at the audition and the lack of serious work, the lack of seriousness we're shown in her actions is a direct visual representation of how seriously she's taking the audition, and then it puts a lot more emphasis on how hard she's working once she does start taking it seriously. And I can see maybe why people wouldn't like it, and I know we kind of rail on that caricature sort of thing on this show a lot, but this time I think it really worked, and it was this really deliberate visual narrative choice. And I think because of the fact that we rail on that sort of thing so much, I feel like I really needed to acknowledge what the show was doing with it here.
I think that's totally fair. And I think while it has elements in common with things like I personally have not liked, it also comes together in a really good way that makes it more than clown shoes. I mean, like you said, they did it in a deliberate manner that they use to show, like, no, this is her not being serious, this is her not doing the thing, and then later on, she's actually doing the thing, and you actually kind of watch her visual progression. It's really good. And the big thing that makes it sing is that they're driving so hard on this theme of desire not being complete, rather, desire being completely insufficient to achieve a goal that you'd want to achieve. And in a big way, they show that with Honami, because it's not just that you have to work, but you also have to find the people you were... Sorry, my tongue is all crazy. You not only have to work, but you have to find the people that you were counting on and help them work, too. It's like, they might turn into jerks along the way because you're driving them so hard, or because you're driving yourself so hard, or they're in it for a different reason, but you still have to work with them, you still have to make it go, and you are not in total control of it, and that's a really good thing to talk about. And so not only do we have this thing about this work ethic sort of moral, but we also do that by humanizing idols, which, like, look, from what little I know about the contracts and sort of the culture that gets built around idols, and this is entirely layperson, but, like, it sounds like humanizing idols is a thing that is not done very often and should happen more often, because it,
yeah.
You can't date, you can't gain X, you can't gain too much weight, you can't lose too much weight, you can't da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's like, wow, this is nightmarish. It's it, you know, I'm sure people overuse it, but the whole thing with being an idol just sounds totally Kafka. It's just nightmarish. And then I think this is kind of the brilliant move they did, is that they set that against narratively, Elaine's series of let's learn martial arts montages. So they're essentially saying that advancing one's martial prowess is equal in narrative and thus in moral and real world weight and importance as advancing one's skill as being an idol as or anything else that you might want to be, a physicist, a monk, etc. And that's really lovely. I mean, heck, that's how Akari frustrates Igor before smacking him in the face again. She works hard and delivers a rider kick of singing, dancing, dedication, and also friendship when he was looking forward to seeing her crash and burn. I'm all about it. It's beautiful.
This time I didn't have much to say for these episodes other than they were okay. And so I'll be reading, for this episode, I'll be reading Ahmed's notes that he's written for us, but unfortunately cannot be present to read them, which is good for me because I don't need to read any notes. That means, so anyway, I don't need to write any more notes. But yeah, anyway, yeah, because I do have to read these notes anyway. So here's his notes. Faith is heading towards your goal without hesitation and without straying, which is Sunzo's. What Sunzo said through Honami to the characters. And like love, faith is an action word. If you really believe in something, it should change the way you act. Elaine had to push through his self-doubt to reach a level of competency he had yet to achieve. Through teaching Akari, Honami remembered who she is and why she is working so hard to be a successful idol. Akari's trick gave Honami the opportunity to step up and push doubts aside to be her true self. The faith these characters had, the faith they acted with, led them to succeed. It's almost our oft-mentioned admonition to fake it till you make it. But there is a bit more here. I hope people watching this will take heart and really believe in what they're doing so that they'll meet with the success they have coming to them.
Inspiration.
I believe very firmly in fake it till you make it.
Oh, yes.
That's my life plan.
Yeah, tell yourself you're doing it, and eventually you'll be doing it.
Oh, yes. What was it? What was that one famous line from where? It's probably from some very popular shonen anime. I don't know. I have to put your quotes about motivationals from motivational speeches from your favorite animes here.
Just insert the entire script of Gurren Lagann. That's literally
about to say, yes.
Like that's literally the whole show.
If you can't believe in yourself, believe in the me that believes in you.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. When speaking of success, the things that didn't succeed in these episodes, so what bones do you have to pick with this bit of ghost?
Okay, so for 36, literally the last arc was about evil wristbands. why is, Akari, why are you not suspicious of these wristbands? Especially once things start to go wrong. And especially once you think Igor is involved. Like, even at the end of the arc, it's just kind of brushed aside, like, oh, Honami just happens to be psychic, and I guess the wristband set it off. That's maybe a thing you should look into. I feel like anyone should have been more suspicious after 34 and 35. Also, Bills was the one who initially invited Akari to audition for the group. And, like, even if he wasn't totally serious, when she comes back later and says she wants to do it, why does he suddenly look so uncomfortable? Like, he doesn't know how bad she is yet. She's just saying, oh, well, I want to do it, and I'm fine with auditioning. Like, I need to do this for my plan, and I'm fine with auditioning. Why does he look so uncomfortable?
I would mostly guess that that's one of the things where it's the... You know, they're trying to do the visual storytelling because he can tell she's not being 100% about it. And maybe Bills understands those sorts of things? I don't know.
I don't know. It just... That seemed really weird to me.
No,
also, when Honami is first possessed by Sanzo, after it happens, she's very aware that it happened. And she's like, what was that? Something just happened to me, please tell me what it was. And Tucker's like, no, we gotta go do the thing, we're just gonna go do this. And, like, she is freaked out. She is already uncomfortable about this telepathy thing. Please explain to her that she was just briefly possessed. And, like, it's okay, it's not a problem. Like,
it
probably... Like, it's not something that's gonna affect you or be long-term. It's just that this dude over here had some stuff to say.
Amit also had one thing to say about the 36th episode, Harumi to Kanon, which when Harumi talked to Kanon and said, can you bring this to him? That scene was framed so strangely. Why say anything? It takes tending to Elaine feel like some obligation put on her from outside of herself and not an act of volition from this great kind person. Stop taking away Canon's choice.
Because it's Canon's job. She's not being like, go... She's saying, you know, go bring this food to this person because that's now Canon's job. She's working at the stand. She's being like, it is your job to be a waitress. Here, bring this to the table. It's not like you are obligated to be serving this person for no reason. It's that it's Canon's job.
It's really intense got a waitress at the outdoor takoyaki stand.
Look, with how many people showed up to Fumi's funeral... I'm glad that this woman has help. Because this stand apparently gets pretty busy. And honestly, I think that Canon is a little young to legally have a job. It may be under the table. Because Canon is 14.
Okay. I didn't know
but
that.
But there's another scene with her helping close up the stand that I think is supposed to imply that Canon is working there. She's like, hey, okay, we're done closing up. I'll see you tomorrow? Yeah, I'll see you tomorrow. Let's do this again. None of the guys are there. That's when Canon sees, you know, Doppelganger Makoto at the park. She's helping close up the stand. So I think it's just that, you know, it's Canon's job.
The other point that Amit had was that does Takeru need to be grabbing everyone? If she wants to leave, if Honami wants to leave, she can leave. I have no problem with him following her after the fact to keep her safe, but we shouldn't be encouraging kids to put their hands on people uninvited. Which...
That's fair.
Fair enough. I mean, I didn't honestly notice, but then again, I don't know, I'm not a kid nor a parent,
Well, it's also, you know, that's why we have all these people, because we all notice the different things. It's really fun.
Mm-hmm. Episode 37.
I didn't even do my stuff for 37.
Yeah, I know. Go for it, yeah.
I was gonna ask if you had anything for 36. I didn't know if Cannibal
I
was
just
jumping
sort of,
on
they
to
all blend. I just blended them together for my thoughts, so I'll just go at the end.
Yeah, no, I kind of wrote them as I was watching episodes, which is why I have them divided. But for 37, why was Cannon wandering around a parking garage? Like, I know someone had to find Makoto, but she wasn't... There was no real reason for her to be out looking for him. She's just, like, walking into this underground parking structure and is just, like, sees him and is like, oh, crud, my brother passed out here. I should probably do something about that. But why were you there in the first place?
Honestly, knowing Toku geography, for all we know, that park where that takoyaki stand is might as well be right next to that parking lot.
Yeah,
I mean,
it doesn't. Why would she be in an underground parking structure? And you know, speaking of Makoto, while I'm interested in this doppelganger plot, we are on episode 37, and it's a little late to be starting something like this when we have like 10 episodes left. Again, I'm interested in where it's going, but I would hate to see it rushed.
So far, it really has something I did. Kind of notice in hindsight, because someone actually told me on Twitter, Painted Outlaw specifically. Thanks, man. I don't know if you're listening, but you know, shout out to you. Told me that the main writer for the show for Ghost, what was his name again?
Mori, or is that Tsuojir?
No,
I still have
Mori.
This. Takuro is
anyway.
the main writer.
Okay, him. The main writer has actually been kind of absent for the last 10 episodes or so. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
and
it's been
it's
a lot of
most...
Hasegawa and Mori.
Yeah, yeah. Which does explain quite a lot, because I feel like... all of these have been kind of, I can't even say it's fillery, because it's, I feel like this is kind of maybe trying to do kind of more of this week, trying to more go into a more weekly structure than Ryder has been.
Don't even get me started on filler, because I will.
Yeah, okay, so I have noticed them going a little more traditional is not exactly the right word, but, you know, we went from at the start of Ghost where it's like, no, heck with your two-parters. We're doing all of that in one episode. Here we frickin' go. And we've kind of got away from that, which is...
Yeah, now it's oddly been more sort of episodic with, like, ooh, what's the sort of issue of the week?
But it's also not unprecedented for this writers to do this. It's happened in a bunch of things the main writer will kind of set up the show... And then the secondary writers will kind of carry the 3/4 section of the show, and then the main writer will finish it up. I'm not sure if really that's it.
It's just, yeah, but there has felt like something has shifted a bit.
It just felt really weird to me that we're 10-ish episodes from the end and we're starting something that seems to be, like, a major plot arc when we've got a lot of other stuff we need to finish up.
The writer, and honestly a lot of Toku in general, always kind of had this, had some issues with, like, the sort of last... Not the last quarter, but the second to last quarter. Specifically, just right around the time, like, basically the last 10 episodes, which is like 20 something, like 20, like 7 or 9 forwards to like now. That has always kind of been a problem with a lot of tokusatsus, really. That's what I call it. I think I talked about this before on the show, but I call it the sort of third quarter fatigue. because it's kind of in that weird middle where it's like it's not exactly the sort of midpoint of the show.
But I don't feel like that point, that chunk of Ghost has had any problems, really.
Oh, no. I'm just saying kind of in general for these sorts of things, for tokusatsu.
But, like, I'm talking about a fourth quarter thing. Because that's where we are, and why are we doing this big character story arc that could take up a bunch of time in this last quarter when you could have put that in the third quarter and had enough time to really work with it? Because I'm very afraid that this could end up rushed. I also trust the Ghost staff to not mess it up, because Lord knows they've been amazing with everything else, but it just feels like a weird choice to me.
It definitely is. I definitely feel like there's kind of been some kind of miscommunication maybe with like the main writers and the sort of secondary ones, or maybe it's just kind of odd. Yeah, this should have been something that they've been building up a little earlier, or I guess because with the whole like, ooh, this Makoto, this new upgrade of yours, it will turn out dangerous or something. Maybe that's supposed to be our sort of setup for this.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I don't know.
Its whole thing is dive too deep.
I mean, it feels a little bit like let's introduce six horoscopes in the last 15 episodes of Forza.
Well, or what is it with Drive? Just at the end, it's like, really? A whole new plot with evil goddad iPad? You sure? And he made an evil computer.
It doesn't feel quite that bad.
Well, no.
Feels like this is something you maybe should have started a little bit earlier.
And it's such a weird storyline, too, for Makoto. It's like,
for Makoto, who's been kind of battling his identity the entire show, it's very, very fitting. Where did I come from? Who am I? Who am I fighting for? I feel like it's very, very suiting to him. It's just, maybe you should have done this around episode, 25 or 30 instead of 37.
I do hope that it kind of has a cool payoff.
Oh, I'm hoping the same. I imagine.
Again, I trust the Ghost team implicitly. It just feels like an odd choice to me.
I don't know, will this be kind of like, remember how, like, in Forza, like, how they kind of introduced, like, Yuki and the sort of weird, what was it, like, the Gemini Zodiacs thing?
Well, that was something that definitely was supposed to be a lot earlier. Like, I think that's something that was supposed to be in the first half of the show. Especially given the Sonoda Net movies, it very much implies it was supposed to be within the first, 15 episodes.
Oh, yes.
Or, the first, 20 episodes. Whereas this, I feel like doing this in the later part of the show is fine. Even if it's something planned, it seems like it was something planned for later on. I'm just not sure if, it should be this late.
Well, who knows? Maybe, I don't know, maybe Ghost has an extended episode, and, I mean,
maybe
it wouldn't be the first time.
Bring Ghost to 52 episodes, I'll take it.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes, anger all those Ghost haters out there.
Do it!
Like, whatever.
I'll fight each and every one of them.
Wait, back up. There's people who don't like Ghost. Well, I mean, I shouldn't be surprised there's people who don't like everything, but...
That's what people keep telling me. People keep telling me that there are people who just don't like Ghost, and I'm sure they have their reasons, and they are entitled to them, but I don't understand it, because none of those people have ever... I don't know who any of those people are, and none of them have ever come to try and explain it to me.
Oh, yeah, this year's writer, we definitely don't have, the sort of Gaim problem, where there was so many, I guess, sort of hater versus fandom skirmishes as we used to. Nowadays, it's more like people just kind of generally are unaware of each other, other than maybe like ghost haters, like voicing their dislikes about Ghost on the main Kamen Rider Ghost tag, which I...
Oh, see, that's the thing. I don't go into the tags. Yeah, I am way too smart for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which always kind of seemed like, I don't know.
We were talking the other day about the interaction you had where you got to drop the Onari reaction.
Yeah, see, I didn't actually know what that was about. I just saw you, like, dropping that reaction. I'm like, someone must have said something stupid.
It isn't too much of a bother to me personally, but it's kind of just, it's like, didn't there used to be like an, I thought this was like an unspoken rule that you
don't put your hate in the tags. That is a rule.
Yeah.
It's like, just that no one has ever defined what hate is, but when it's stuff like, I want him to slap her back, I'm like, no, that's hate. And go,
I don't know.
The thing is, I was very polite in my initial complaints about Gaim. I didn't put them in the tags, but I think I originally was leaving them untagged. But I'm like, no, wait, I have a lot of people who are fans of this show, and I don't want my complaining to bother them. So I just made a separate tag so that they could block it. But, like, I didn't tag any of it with, even if it was just, oh, I think that this and this are, like, weird things for this episode to be doing, and I don't like these choices. And I was open for debate about it, but I didn't put it in the main tag, because I'm like, no, that's where people go to just, you know, have fun with it.
Yeah, I think I'm one of the more, vehement, like, guy haters.
Oh,
that's debatable.
The venom that I have for Gaim is deep and unending, I keep it to myself. I am friends with people who like Gaim, and they have their reasons for liking it, and I don't want to mess with that. It's like, I don't want to be rude. I don't want people going around, like, yelling their complaints about the shows that I like. Like, just, you know, keep your hate in your space.
Yeah. It's, use a tag. At least use a tag, people.
All of my stuff about Gaim was tagged with angry about Gaim. That way, it wasn't in the main tag. People who didn't like Gaim could block it. I put all of it under a read more, also. Just in case, you know, they're on mobile or whatever, where they can't block tags. Keep your hate in your own space.
Yeah, just don't be rude, people. Tag your shit. That's tag
your freaking spoilers.
Especially those. Tag your magazine leaks.
Yeah, tag your spoilers. Please, for the love of God, tag your magazine scans.
But yeah, that's okay. Well, we've gone down a tangent there.
So. Well, hey, it's okay because we were out of the focus section, so we're free to be unfocused.
That is
yes. But Aleph,
I see.
What's your issues?
Okay, so I confess, like, I forgot about the significance of the wristbands like midway through, which sort of sadly made Igor feel kind of vestigial, which is a shame because I mean he's a killer mad scientist and he's Akari's nemesis. So, and he's just sort of there going, Nya-ha-ha! I have an evil plan! And it's just like, well, I mean, it was foiled by friendship. Spoiler warning.
I don't know. I feel that kind of works because I feel like Igor is kind of doing this sort of visible degeneration.
That's true. I mean, all he had at first was his swagger and his pride, and just Akari has just been annihilating that. Just like one slap at a time, just his HP bar. Whoop!
Like, Igor wasn't even the problem, it's just this wristband thing.
Yeah, I just... But, you know, whatever. And like to go on to what we were just talking about. Like, for all I don't mind the stuff with Makoto and his Yumian shadow slash true deep specter slash whatever the heck is going on here, I kind of wish they were a little better at establishing the through line with it. It sort of feels like an orphan plot thread because, like, everyone's over here talking about, you know, diligent work and taking it seriously and being friggin' professional about things, and then it's just over here, oh, hey, there's two of me. We're going to punch each other. It doesn't quite fit. And look, I know it's supposed to be bad, but wow, Akari's just terrible audition was just like, you could have just cut that in half and I would have got the point. It was a bit awkward. Again, I know it was supposed to be, but it was just like, a bit much.
And also, the 37th episode, to cap this off, Ahmed also said this. I am all for Igor being Akari's whipping boy, but I want Takaru's hug of redemption to come back. I know he's glowing in feels and that's somewhat familiar, but I can want both things to happen. Embracing good people and punishing this clown isn't exactly from the Book of Force, eh? But it feels kosher enough to me, given all the other context of Ghost. By the way, we should totally write a Book of Force at some point.
Our writer who art in high school, Force be thy name.
Oh my god.
I mean,
yeah,
I do.
Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of adolescence, I will fear no Zodiarts, for thou art with me. Thy rocket and thy drill, they protect me. Okay, I'm done. Sorry.
I mean, I do agree with this. I feel like the hug kind of came and went without any real... There was space between, like, the hug and all of his other kind of empathy-based powers, that it feels like there was a little bit of a disconnect, and I kind of wish it had tied through a little better, where, like...
Yeah.
Especially now that, like, he can just touch people and have that empathy reaction, where it was kind of slowly went from one to the other instead of there being a bit of a jump.
There's a lot of, actually, from, like, all the things from the early Ghost that I do kind of miss.
Yeah.
They seem to have kind of dropped a lot of the sort of early stuff, which, to be fair, is kind of the...
Again, I don't...
Kind of the core...
I don't think it was dropped. I think all of it kind of evolved into these other things, but just not as smoothly as it should have.
Yeah. Which, I suppose, is kind of a thing with a lot of, like, sort of other Kamen Rider shows. But I don't know. I don't know. I especially, like, just... I remember when they mentioned back in, like, I don't know which episode it was, back in probably, like, the teens or so, like Yurusen going, hey, Takaru, if a Gamma possesses a person for too long, they cannot revert back. Wow, I am Yurusen.
Gamma kind of stopped possessing people at that point.
Which
is a little weird.
Except for Bills.
Yeah.
Is he possessed, or is he just, you know...
He's still under their sway, anyway, and I don't think he's there on purpose.
If they have Bills to be the payoff to that, I would be fine with it. I don't know, I just want something to come from this whole thing that they mentioned, because...
They
established that fact? It's like, why establish that if they're not going to do anything with it, you know? It's kind of like, I don't know, like back in the day when Wizard was when Wizard was airing, I remember so many people kind of being so kind of upset about how we never really saw like one person turning into like a phantom. What if Haruto... Like, just that one time isn't able to save a person, which...
And now you're gonna hear me whining in the background because that's some BS from people who completely missed the point of the show. I mean, not to say that there wasn't some stuff that... Some balls that were dropped in Wizard, because the entire plotline of Dragon wanting to take over Haruto's body... went zero places. Mm-hmm. And I'm endlessly disappointed, even though I understand because, you know, that is way too much CGI budget. But if your problem is that people didn't die, I'm gonna kind of side-eye and make an annoyed noise.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've literally missed the point.
I don't see people actually complain about that. Actually, most of the complaints have been kind of really nondescript, as far as I've seen. And not very interesting, honestly, so yeah. Who knows. I don't know, I'm just talking about the ones I see in, like, the tags or stuff, which...
No, I remember that being a big complaint about Wizard while it was airing.
I
had the same reaction then that I do now.
Hmm.
Whining loudly about people missing the point.
Back to the ghost thing. Yeah, I kind of hope it kind of, I don't know, maybe it can pay off some point. I hope it's gonna lead up to something with Bills, hopefully, because I kind of wish to see what happens, because, you know, it's not like even with, like, Wizard, where it's kind of more like a threat, so it's like, it's more like the threat of happening. This one's like, oh no, this is gonna happen. So it's kind of like the indication. So that's like, to me, it's like the indication, like, this is gonna be a thing later on. It's the Chekhov's gun or whatever. Like, I don't know. I don't know. Then again, there's so many other things about other writer shows that, like, have dropped the ball with, even though they kind of, you know, kind of established it, like, you know, remember back in the day when, like, who was the durian guy again?
Yeah.
Comrade Problem. Remember when he was supposed to be, like, the professional horrifying mercenary guy or something? Yeah, that didn't went anywhere. Or hell, like, or the whole, like, whatever, what, Griton or Ornak or whatever his name is, like, you know, that whole...
Don't even get me started on... how the show could not figure that out.
Or even like the shows I like Agito, like, I don't know, like the whole finale bit.
Yeah, it does kind of come, like, out of nowhere.
Like, oh, they will, the people, the human beings will never accept us, Agito. And it's like, I guess this is a thing now. I mean, came out of kind of nowhere, but okay, I guess. It's Kamen Rider is it's not always tightly written.
It's hard when you're writing a show like 2 weeks before it airs. It's hard.
Yeah.
Like, I don't blame them for these things happening, because stuff is hard to predict.
Yeah, producers, writing teams, directors, all different people, and it's like...
Let's just move on.
Move on, and ask ourselves what made us say, "Whoa!" while watching Ghost. This time, episode 36.
You know, for 36, Cannon's got a job! And I was excited about that, and I know I mentioned that, but, you know, someone has to support this stupid family. No one else has a job!
I don't know, I feel like Golnari's probably running a very successful Etsy store.
You know what? I would not be surprised. And, you know, I mean, I know, you know, most of them are living in the temple and they're supported that way, but, you know, I'm glad someone in this family finally got a job. And you know what? I'm glad it's Canon because she needs to be doing something. Especially something that, like, gets her away from everyone else for a while. So, you know, she can think on her own and have her own reactions to things. I always enjoy that. Igor's reaction to Akari not wanting to audition for the idol group when Bills asks her at the concert, I thought was pretty funny. Like, fine, if you don't want to get caught up in my evil plan, I didn't want you here anyway. So there. When Sanzo first possesses Honami and says that Elaine's, you know, lost his faith, and he's like, yeah, that sounds about right, and goes face down on the table, Onari just kind of starts petting his hair, and is really worried about him, and it was the cutest thing I've ever seen. I noticed, in 36, I think it was when, Makoto was having tea with, Shibuya and Narita, you can see the calendar in the background, and it's actually crossed off to the correct day.
Nice.
And I thought that was a nice detail, and I'm glad someone is, you know, keeping track of that, even if we're not, you know, verbally addressing it or the calendar in the show. It was actually crossed off to the correct date. And, you know, speaking of that, just Makoto hanging out at home with Shibuya and Narita while everyone's off, you know, doing their missions and stuff was kind of neat. It was nice to see him, who's always so intense, having this, you know, nice, quiet, casual moment with arguably the two least intense people in this show. For 37... Onari is so supportive of Akari during the whole idol thing, and, you know, he genuinely wants to help and support her, I guess with his knowledge of doing concerts from his middle school punk band. And, you know, he gives her this little hug when Honami yells at her, and he even, you know, is watching her practice and, you know, dancing along with them, and the two of them have gotten so close over the course of this show. And I really kind of adore the dynamic that they've built and how much they care about each other. It's really sweet. I thought the parallel of Akari and Elaine's different types of training, when they started to accept help and learn from others, instead of trying to do it all by themselves, was really nice. And it kept kind of adding weight to both of their goals and really got me rooting for them both when I hadn't really intended on paying as much attention to Elaine. It kind of really helped me care about what he was doing. When Onari gets the crowd cheering for Honami to, you know, rejoin the group and sing with them, I kind of lost it, because he is a precious gift, and we don't deserve someone so pure. Because our fandom is terrible. I'm also a huge sucker for the whole twisted ankle trick that Akari pulled to get Honami to rejoin the group. Like, it's super cliche, but I am a sucker for it, and it was adorable and sweet, and I loved it. One thing that was really important to me, when the one idol friend says to Honami, "This is our stage," it held more weight in this episode, where it is relevant to this one singular moment and never again, than that phrase did through the entire 26 episodes of Gaim that I watched.
You ain't wrong.
I mean, I know I've mentioned it a couple of times. I think I brought it up in the 3-hour Rider Jump that we did recently. How much I loved "This is our stage" in Gaim as a concept. When it comes up in, you know, episode 3 or 4, she came up very early, and I'm still really sad it was never given proper dues, and I feel like this, how it was handled here, is the exact emotion that I wanted from it. You know, like, this is our place to exist. This place is a physical representation of us, and you can't take away who we really are, and you can't get rid of us.
I was almost gonna go with, like, "But Sono, didn't you think that Gaim's usage of 'this is our stage' was a deep statement of rebellion against the system or whatever?"
But it was in episode, like, 3! And then it stopped meaning that! It stopped having any meaning at all when the show stopped being about them trying to take stages from each other.
Man, I really missed all the... I wanted a show about breakdancing fruit samurai. That sounds
good. That was a thing I actually really loved about Gaim, and it's why I really loved that one episode with the all-team dance. Because that was still very much a representation of that idea, but Gaim just didn't want to actually have anything to do with that.
Yeah. What did that even mean? This is our
stage. I just told you what it meant.
I mean, like, later on in the show.
It didn't
mean
anything.
You were saying that all the time.
It meant literally nothing because the stages stopped being a thing.
Yeah. God damn.
And the thing is, like, I could... If Gaim had been more cohesive, the stages... The actual stages they use could have stopped being a thing, and it could have meant Zalame City is our stage. All of this city is where we exist. It represents all of us. But again, the show never went there.
It turned out everything was just the stage of our horrifying existential demise that was DJ Sakura.
But again, just that phrase held more weight in this episode, in that one moment where it never had to mean anything ever again, than it did in the entire half of Gaim that I watched. Elaine was super cute in this episode, and I don't have much more to say on it. It's just, he was cute, and when he was jumping around and his shirt kept flying up, I wanted to poke him in the stomach. It was adorable, and it made me happy.
It reminds me of that one Tumblr post that was like, you know, whenever I see, like, Makoto's collar and how it's just, like, open from, like, that, like, lower neck, I just want to poke my finger in it, and
this happened every time I watched the Forze opening, too. I wanted to poke Miu in the stomach when she jumps up, because you can see her stomach. I mean, that is just a weird impulse of mine. I just, like, I want to poke you in the stomach, because you're cute. You're cute, and you make me happy. Akari and Igor were brilliant. Igor, I know Aleph mentioned this, Igor wanting to laugh at Akari for, you know, failing as an idol, and then being so upset at how awesome and glorious she is, and how she got the group back together all happily, that he was so angry he forgot to hide himself so that Akari can slap him a third time. It was great.
Wait, has she only slapped him 3 times?
Yes, it's only been 3 times, unfortunately.
And with only 3 slaps, she satiated the entire show. There were only 3 slaps that day, but somehow everyone, it felt like there's a slap every episode. You know, that's a miracle.
There was the first time she did it,
the second time she did it,
Yoko from GoBusters. Oh, no, the second time with Yoko from GoBusters when she slaps him in the monster form, and then this time. It's only been the 3 times, but, always everyone. So satisfying.
Yeah, it really
the
is.
Monster form is still, like, the best moment, one of the best moments, though.
Even then, like, that felt so much like a reflex, like, she was not even thinking about it. Like, she just saw him as, like, nope, slap, out of the way, stuff to do.
Not doing it. Go, move, no.
No time for this. Also, I really like that Onari is the first one in the episode to bring up the idea of working with a group and putting your all in, and that everyone working together is the nature of comradeship. He says that to Honami while they're watching Akari practice, which then cycles back around to that being the idea that Elaine conveys to Javert at the end of their fight, and I thought that was a really nice way to tie the two of them together, since Onari is the catalyst for this growth arc that Javert is going through. Because there's really no way or reason for Javert to... Or for Onari to meet Javert there. So for Elaine to convey Onari's idea to him, I thought was really nice.
Akari and Igor... That made sense. It's like, okay, they're the people who are going to be each other's, you know, twisted mirror. That's cool. Onari and Javert? Huh. But it works. I love it so much.
It's so good.
And for like, my notes on here, I'm actually really glad that Mr. Bill... Oh, no! That's a joke none of you are old enough to get. Is sticking
around, I get
it. Though. What?
I get it. I know Mr. Bill.
Okay, good. I would hope so. But anyway, I know I complained earlier a little about orphan plot threads, and he feels kind of like the orphanedest one. But on the other hand, like, he's the guy on the bad guys' team, and the good guys don't know he's on their team. And as Cannibal brought up, or maybe it was you, someone brought it up, you know, he's a guy who's been possessed long-term and might not be able to come back.
I did brought up, right?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure he's possessed.
Yeah, but, you know, whatever, I like that we could use him that way. Possessed or just on their side, like, it's still a nice thing that they can bring around later, and I like that. Also, I liked Akari just doing that true friendship power and Inari helping her sell it. That was really glorious. With, I twisted my ankle. You better go out there, Hanami. Then Inari's just, oh, nah, me. Yeah, I know what's going on here. I'm totally a fan. I am one of you. Also, I wish I knew what was going on with his like, weird 70s producer guy outfit. I feel like that is a specific reference that I'm just completely not getting. Although it does, the ease with which he goes into that persona really does further add fuel to my fire that he is a former bad dude. He's done some stuff.
His middle school punk metal band.
Yeah.
Oh man, there's so much about Onari's like backstory that I feel like there's some really like deep things going on.
This is why Ghost needs net movies.
Yes.
Exactly.
Because that's where they would explore this nonsense.
I mean, like, Jesus, how many of those direct-to-DVD movies does Drive have now? It's like, what, 3 or 4 now? I don't know. I mean, like, let's have that same number, but
yeah, I don't
for,
know.
Like,
give me 18 Ghost Saga movies.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I'd be in. Okay, and while I thought some of the animal sound effects for Xuanzang or Sanzo's disciples were a bit much, I really enjoyed the fact that they shelled out to make those costumes, if only to give Elaine that excuse to be awesome and debut his special attack with the three disciples and debut the new hand rifle, because I'm reasonably sure he didn't have that before. Someone correct me there if I'm wrong.
He has not had a weapon until now.
I didn't think so. And I also feel like it's a good choice to have him go off and do this training sequence, because he's got, you know, based on my really layman interested but have not yet read the proper thing, and it, people who know better will correct me, I'm sure. Like, I kind of like that we've got this sort of mirroring of Elaine with Sanzo and Monkey, and it's just like, okay, well, he's got to go from one world to another to collect the great knowledge and take it back, and that's, I think that's kind of nice.
I think I also brought that up when
I
was...
that's right, you did. I'm totally just copying you,
when
dude,
I was
I'm sorry.
Oh, no worries. I mean, I can't claim to be the first one who know this.
I'm a big fan of credit where it's due.
I did like that too. Kind of like, ooh, they're doing what I kind of predicted.
Yeah.
Ooh, they were gonna. I kind of predicted with like Elaine and Sanzo, and you know, speaking of Sanzo and the sort of his disciples, I don't know why, but there's something that's kind of I find amusing about them. It's like with its interpretation of it.
Yeah.
I don't know why, because they're kind of like real. Because honestly, they're kind of like a really sort of like low budget late additions. Like they don't like their costumes are like so basic that it's so like just a basic like tunic and stuff and just a mask. But I don't know. There's
I really
something.
Like those masks.
There's
I
something
have,
I find. There's
I have... some kind of thoughts on this that come up later, but I feel like a lot of the really lighthearted stuff that Ghost does with some people is, again, very, very deliberate, kind of in a way of visual storytelling.
I kind of like this kind of take on this Sanzo's disciples, probably because I've seen so many, like, takes on, like, the Journey of to the West story that this is so kind of, like something I haven't seen before, that it's like this. Okay, that's kind of funny. They're like just these weird animal dudes. That's just like they're just weird animal dudes that's just, like, making Elaine's life really difficult. Okay. I don't know why. I was just kind of amused by them.
Look, I'm happy when anyone makes Elaine's life really difficult. I love the dude, but I am all on board for, like, passive-aggressive revenge.
Well, look, I mean, yeah. He was a fascist overlord, I mean.
He like, was kind of a butt for a while.
Yeah, for, like, at least multiple decades. Like, he can eat the turd sandwich, you know? Like,
yeah. Plus the finisher with the Sun Tzu's disciples was really nice. Although the big strike against it is that they didn't use their weapons.
Monkey doesn't have the giant rod.
It's literally one of their weapons is like a stick and a rake. One is literally like a gardening rake. It's like, why couldn't you just find one from like an?
There's a department for that. You talk to the guy. Hey, can we borrow that for 20 minutes? Sure.
Yeah,
what's
it's
up?
Like, just have like a like. I'm sure the Die Ranger props are still somewhere stored. Just take the stick from that, and it's like, there we go. They didn't have their signature weapons. It's like, what's up with that? Come on.
Though that does lead into the second thing that I again in my very layperson observation. I also kind of like that at this late date we've kind of also made the monkey parallel and that we've taken a powerful and arrogant just toolbox. And he's gone, and he's got some kind of enlightenment over the course of his journey. Like, it's not the big, proper, capital E enlightenment in this case, but Elaine has certainly come around. This sort of feels like them putting the cap on it. It's like, look, he's changed now. He's done.
And again, his enlightenment is repeating something that the big Buddhist monk in the show says earlier in the episode.
That's a good point. That's... Yeah.
Although I should point out,
as someone familiar with the Journey
to the West story, I wouldn't say Monkey was really so much as a toolbox. He was like a sort of grassroots sort of anti-hero in a world that sucks.
Monkey was not in charge of stuff.
There's actually a lot of really sort of hidden social satirical elements in Journey to the West that I think most people, even in China, most people aren't really aware of. But it's really interesting.
It's on my to-read list. It's just I've got a lot to read, and I'm also
there's like one.
Distracted.
Yeah, there's one like a. They aren't really obvious because it was like written in like the Ming Dynasty, and Ming Dynasty was especially harsh about that sort of thing, so they kind of have to write in like metaphors, and which then again isn't too different from what we are doing now, honestly. Yeah. But whatever, but still, it's like there's a lot of like sort of like a. Like, if you know your history, especially, like, Ming Dynasty history and all that sort of stuff, well, even, like, today, how people act, you can see some parallels that's going on in, like, Journey to the West, if you are looking in the right places. Nice. I know there's at least that one story that was, like, a direct sort of reference to this, to these really abhorrent acts that this one Ming Dynasty emperor did back in the day.
Wow.
But that's one of the later chapters in the Journey to the West story. But let's get away from that now.
Yeah.
This will go into a massive tangent.
Yeah, the journey to the end of the podcast.
Exactly.
Okay. So I guess just my... Oh, right. Okay, so this is just a stupid thing, and it's a thing I don't normally like to get into, because it involves, like, commenting on how someone, like, someone's physical appearance, and that's not a thing I like to do. But in this case, I just like these scenes when Akari is practicing her dance routine. Like, they either let her have less makeup on, or no makeup, or makeup that was meant to, like, look like she's not wearing makeup, or something like that, because they just, they let her look like someone who'd been doing a lot of physical exertion and did not put on a bunch of makeup that was compensating for it. Like, they've let her look tired and worn out, which, you know, that's what's going on, and that's not a thing you see very often. Like, even a lot of times when, like, especially last year with Drive, like, any time that what was her name? Oh my goodness, I've forgotten.
Kiriko?
Kiriko, thank you. Anytime Kiriko was, like, looking really worn out, she was still, like, dressed to the nines. She's still, like, her hair is just perfect, her face is really nice. And in this one, like, Akari looked worn out, and, like, she hadn't had time to stop and think about, okay, I gotta look pretty. She's like, how do I get my feet to do this? This is really, And I thought that was a thing you don't see very often, and worthy of note, and worthy of, like, praise, because that's, again, not a thing you see very often.
No, that's something I noticed, and I felt it was really good on the costume department that, you know, they made her look sweaty and tired.
Although, like, from what I've heard, the actress has been very big on, like, no, look, this is a thing my character would do. We're gonna put that in.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm...
Nice.
I don't know if it's good
honor for that.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm not sure if... I mean, that would be a costume department thing. I don't know if... But, I mean, no, I agree that it's something worth noting. Because, I mean, it's not like we're saying, oh, well, you know, now Akari looks ugly. It's like, no, they actually went through the effort to make her look like she'd been spending hours on this.
Yeah,
and
again, like,
it really makes you believe. Yeah, it makes you believe that she's been putting her all into this.
Yeah, which I really... It helped sell it.
Again, and it's very much the transition from her doing the audition as a literal caricature.
Yeah.
To looking like a real person.
And then on the other side, she becomes an idol, and it's like, ah, that was a nice little journey we went on there. And finally, like, I still got my problems with the way a lot of the dangling plot threads get brought into the show, but I still kind of enjoy that they're there, like the doppelganger and Mr. Bill. I'm really hoping that they lead up to something. Much as I agree that it's a little late for some of this stuff, boy, a lot of it feels like it's got potential.
Alright, so a few last sort of things that Amit liked from this episode, and from episode 36, Sunzo slayed Alain by saying he had lost his faith. And Onari comforting Alain was really sweet, especially after their negative interactions of late. Sunzo putting Alain through a trial is amazing. I am so glad this is happening to him. And Onari's look is too much for me. That suit, Onari's look is, it's too much for me, man. It's like that suit, that fro, those sideburns.
His eyeshadow was on point.
Ah, yes.
His eyeshadow was amazing.
Mm. Oh, okay. Real quick, tangent that I should have brought up for Laser Knees.
Yes.
The new guy, Misao. Eyebrow game, on point. Just wanted to say
this is true.
I need to look. I haven't actually watched the recent episodes. I need to check this out.
Misao is a blessed gift.
Oh, as someone who considers himself having a pretty decent eyebrow game,
you do have a really.
I want.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I do want to kind of see how how these oral eyebrow game fares in my Japanese superhero shows.
His eyebrows are pretty great.
Yes. And episode 37, Akari's faking her bum leg was so great, especially with how Nari got the crowd excited for Honami in response to this. Sanzo's aloof response to Takeru about HARP plus Awai for HARP people. It's such a weird name.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well,
like, aren't harpies like a kind of a negative thing? I don't know.
Maybe it's got different connotations there.
I know that harpies do have like a song in a similar way to sirens.
But that usually isn't a good thing with like the sirens, at least.
No, but I mean, also you've got harp, which is indicative of angels.
Who are also winged.
Yeah.
That's weird.
The naming is...
Look, idol group names are always weird.
Yeah.
Someone tell me what AKB means.
Akibahara?
There's 40...
But there's also... But there's also, like, another one. There's, like, another AKB with different letters.
Does it have
I don't remember what it is offhand. Because I don't I don't care about idols.
Wait, is it like AGB time like 48 times 2? Like
No, it's something it's something else 48, but it's different letters that I think also
how many
B.
God, that's 48 plus 48. That's like 96 people. Jesus.
Idol groups are weird and crazy. It is weird thing that I just try to know as little about as possible and end up knowing way more than I want to.
Yeah, that's, knowing less is for the best. The music industry is already kind of slit throat idol industry. Oh dear. Anyway, let's talk about positive things, which is like, you know, Elaine's anthem is so good.
I do love his, like, intro song.
Elaine building himself a platform for Jaware to hear him on the aftermath of his victory was so neat. I love how simple and direct his lessons were to Jaware. Honor is only found through sincerity, and valuing others is a pathway to strength. Yes.
Again.
And,
Onari's lesson.
Yeah. Yeah. So, what do you foresee happening in Ghost?
I had some notes on this originally, but we're a bit behind, and most of what I'd written actually ended up getting covered in episode 38. At the moment, I've really got nothing, because Ghost came through for me.
Yeah, and while we're playing catch up, I just, because I know he's going to hear this eventually, just shout out to Amit, because I think he is the one who called out that there's going to be, that Makoto's doppelganger was some sort of, like, Jungian shadow. And I was just like, alright, yeah, I'm really on with that, and just the more I've been watching what's been going on since, like, good call, bro.
Yeah, I don't have any specific prophecies, as we are recording this, episode 38 and 39 have come out, and so should, episode 40 should be coming out also pretty soon.
Episode
39. No, 40 hasn't aired yet. 39 came out this week. 40 airs on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Saturday.
At the time we're recording this, 40 hasn't aired yet.
Yeah, but it's coming, basically, is what I'm saying. Yeah. So let's move on to the questions we have So, what are your thoughts on the airplane, Perfect Ganma? Would you like to see more upgraded Ganma? Which, there was upgrade.
Yeah, he was upgraded. He's airplane perfect now. From a narrative perspective, I think it's a pretty cool idea, because I like this continued idea on both sides of, it's really hard to kill what's already dead. But I can also understand that we're now really late in the show, and they might want to put their budget into bigger and more important things than just, we need a new monster of the week. So at this point, you know, cleverly recycling those old suits is a good way to do it, and it doesn't feel forced or out of place because they've done it a couple of times already in the show. And, you know, plus the monster designs in the show are always so great that I'm always happy to see them pop up again.
Yeah, they really are just so good. And like you're saying, like, they got bigger things than Monster of the Week going. And I think seeing some interesting twists, tweaks, and upgrades sounds like a really fun idea. And now all I want is another version of the space or satellite Ganma, because I really love that dude. Also, I'm afraid of what's going to happen if they bring back Sword Ganma.
No, do it. Bring back the mom. Bring her back. Redeem her for real reals, and send her off to take care of QB and his friend because they need someone to babysit them.
Yes,
I'm down. Yeah, yes. You're right.
Yes, make more and make net movies out of her too.
Yes.
God, yes. No, just net movies of the three of them going around, her, you know, dueling martial artists and learning different ways of fighting. QB and what's-his-face doing, you know, their art and music and all of them just learning about the world.
Imagine, remember those Imogen cartoons? Let's make those, too, but with these three Ganmas.
Yes.
Suddenly they meet Ultraman at some point, which is, like, okay, I don't know, like, what's an Ultraman that puns with, like, Ganma?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know the Ultras very well.
Well, I know them, so I don't know. Ultraman Gaianma. Yes, we're going with that.
Yep, acceptable.
The three Ganma meet Ultraman Gaianma. Yes. Hire me, Toei. I will write these for you.
I'm still waiting on Toei to hire me to write their movie wars. Movie Wars literally write themselves, and Toei still hasn't been able to do it right.
Yeah.
I want to be the person they bring back for Superhero Tyson. I won't do the whole of everybody versus everybody. I will do weird fan fiction blocks. It'll be great. Because the problems all the Superhero Tysons are always, you guys don't go fanficky enough. You gotta crank it up. You gotta just be like, let's be just dumb. Hey, who wants to just watch a thing about Yuto from Deno hanging out with, I don't know, who's another guy who's a Sentai guy who doesn't have a memory? One of them. They'll go on a trip to discover something.
Oh, then he can hang out with Dragon Ranger.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, he can hang out with Barai. It'll be great. Actually, that does sound pretty good.
I don't know, because I kind of had those expectations with Grand Prix, because knowing what Yuto is and knowing how the thing is.
Grand Prix let me down!
It let
and
us
I'm,
all down.
I am furious. All I needed is literally what's at the end of Chaser Saga with Excel. One line. Just one line with some closure about Iri and Hana. And nothing. No, I would have been completely satisfied with all of the other garbage in that movie if they had given me that one line. But they didn't do it.
Also,
I need some answers.
Also, Amit's answer to this was, I would really enjoy seeing more upgraded Ganma. Honestly, when I first saw this him... This, I reflexively thought about the Roimil, and I remembered how the red vital core ones were more powerful. I like that idea, but I'm not sure this is the right time or place for it in the story. I'd love to see another spin on the Alice in the Wonderland Ganma, for instance, but should the show do that? No, I'm not sure.
Yes, I'm going to disagree with our fearless leader. Yes, it should.
They should definitely do it.
Yeah, suddenly Alice in Wonderland Ganma turns into the Jabberwocky Ganma, which, oh yes, that'd be so
badass. When you say that, Rinko. That's amazing!
Now I'm thinking about Rinko, and look what you've done.
Well, she is in that movie. Well, she's in the movie, so.
I know, but I miss her. I miss her so much. And, like, a thing I was hoping in Wizard was that eventually, Medusa and all of them would find a way to reopen gates. And, like, bring the phantoms and people that had been destroyed back, and we'd get something else with, you know, Rinko and the Jabberwock phantom. And I thought that would have been real neat, but they never did it. And, you know, they never implied they were going to do it. That's just something I thought of that I thought sounded really cool. That I'd hoped they were going to do. So that's not a strike on Wizard, like, setting something up that they didn't follow through on. That's just something I thought of. But also, I had done, like, a whole alternate universe where, you know, Haruto didn't get to Rinko in time. And Jabberwock Phantom ended up hanging out with, you know, Phoenix and Medusa, and, you know, using the fact that Haruto failed to kind of taunt him. And,
look,
you know,
also,
break
that
him down.
That would be a really different show, given how early on that's
yeah, I know, it's literally something that it's the first episode of the show.
Oh, man. That's...
But
yeah.
You know, again, that's not something I really wanted to happen in the show, was have, you know, Rinko die, because I love her. Just, you know, neat alternate idea, because I accidentally drew Rinko looking kind of evil one time.
Nice. Anyway, and my thoughts on the airplane Ganma is...
That is a correct thought. That's a good thought. That's insightful.
Yeah. I kind of wish that all of the Ganmas were doing that. Like, just doing those, like, Showa-esque monster noises. No one even questions it. It's just a thing.
What noises would most of them even make?
I don't know, like, let me think. We'll figure this out. Alice in Wonderland. What's, like, a really Alice in Wonderland thing? I don't know.
It just seems
saying tea,
well,
tea, have tea, tea.
Honestly, I was just thinking could just recite the Jabberwocky, just in the same sort of voice as Edison. I am Edison. No, you are not Edison. I am Edison. I am Edison.
I love Edison.
Twas Brillig. Twas Brillig. Twas Brillig. Slithy toes. Gyre and Gimble in the wave.
Nice. Nice. And,
How Nimsy with more clothes in the
And then the second question is, how did you like Sanzo's manifestations through Honami in the icon, the pig, donkey, and Kappa that helped out Elaine?
I know I talk mostly about the lighthearted stuff and how it suited Ikari, but I really think it also worked for Elaine, especially in those training sequences with the three of them. It really made Elaine feel like he'd departed those parts of himself that had been steeped in terrible ideologies and made him a huge tool. You know, all that stuff that he'd been raised with, and it felt like he had really begun learning from Takeru and Makoto and Onari and the others, and taking in those beliefs that, you know, he was just exposed to every day with them, and wanting to be a part of what they are. And I think in the same way that that lighthearted stuff was a visual indicator of Akari's thoughts on idols, it's a visual indicator of Elaine's growth. And, you know, not to get too far ahead of the episodes we're currently talking about, but I feel like it's a deliberate thing that the show has been setting up all along and keeps using. That, you know, now the temple group is kind of silly and lighthearted, and now Elaine is able to be that as well, where he wasn't able to up until recently.
No, that makes sense. And for like my own part, like I've been saying before, I just really enjoyed how it paralleled with Elaine and his three tormentors/friends, and Honami and her three friends/tormentors. just to drive home what we were talking about cooperation, learning, being part of a team. Like, I love it. I just really hope that we get more times where Sanzo's disciples pop out and, you know, high-five their bro Elaine. I want the ending of this show to just be the most bonkers happy thing. But that's me.
I want all of these kids to be happy all the time. I love them so much.
Ahmed says, I enjoyed Honami-san so much. I might describe him as caring but aloof. I really like how that played for me. Makoto Ogunaga really did a great job in changing her bearing and manner when Honami was possessed by Sanzo.
The girl can act.
Yeah, she can.
Mm-hmm. I personally also kind of liked how this kind of did this whole... as we know in history, like Sanzo or Tripitaka or Shenzong or whatever is like a man in the history, but in Japanese depictions of Journey to the West, the story, the fictional story, is usually a woman. I don't know specifically why. But I think it began from like that 1979 show, The Monkey, which I'm sure a lot of you listeners are more familiar with, and that is where also sort of common depiction of Shao Jin or Sandy, as he's called in the English localization, is kind of depicted as a kappa, is sort of the sort of Japanese water demon. Sort of guy, whereas in like the original story, he was like a water demon, but didn't look like a kappa because China doesn't have a kappa. So it's kind of more this sort of Japanese localization choice. I just wanted to kind of mention this because I kind of liked how this show kind of to refer to the fact that Sanzo is like. In actual who he was in act, what like he was a man in actual history, but also kind of refer to the fact that he has a like most of his actors in Japanese media have been women.
Yeah, I thought it was a nice little nudge to it.
Also the fact that, you know, the whole parallels with the whole where did the idol group is losing their way with like the Sunzo's journey to the to his destination, and the various times when his group is losing their way, and you know, mostly from the Monkey King, which there is actually a really good movie made out of. It's called the A Chinese Odyssey, a classic movie. It's one of Stephen Chow's first feature films. Very nice, very good, very funny, very
well. Stephen Chow, I mean. Gotta give that a shot.
Yeah, he wasn't directing it, but he was like the sort of star of it. But yeah, I recommend you checking that out. It's a fun movie. It's a really fun action adventure movie. So I gotta plug that in. But yeah, so after that, there is our last section, which is forcing perspective.
Woo.
So. Do you think it is unfair that Igor keeps getting slapped by Akari with no recourse, and Ahmed answers with, FYI, everyone, this is for the benefit of others, not for me.
Igor murdered her once. Like, he murdered her, and he murdered Onari in front of her, and then started insulting the dude that he just murdered to her face while she's grieving. And, you know, insulted her to Onari while Onari was grieving her. And I'm pretty sure she's now within her rights to slap him as many times as she sees fit. Because he murdered her. I don't see how it could possibly be unfair when he could physically destroy her because he's a Ganma. And would massively outclass her if, you know, she didn't have time to come up with something to stop him. Like, if they just went fist to fist, he wouldn't merely slap her back. He'd just use his power to obliterate her. You know, and especially since this repeating action of Akari slapping him is something that's driving Igor as a character. It's the center of his whole narrative now. But even without all of that, even without my entire second paragraph, even without anything beyond my first sentence, my point still stands. He has literally murdered her, and barring anything else that he does in this series, three slaps to the face doesn't measure up to that.
Yeah, it really doesn't. And like, I just go to two places, which, like, for one of them, first off, like you said, like, he murdered her. Like, you, there's no equivalence there. Like, it's just, it's textbook punching up is what it is. That dude is filled with otherworldly might and impossible science based on corrupt logic. To the point where, like, again, and you can't emphasize enough, he did murder her. And the second place is the general rule of slapstick, which says that it's a lot funnier watching people who are pompous and or dignified get hit in the face when they step on a rake. Igor is pompous as hell, and plays off how smart and cultured and great and perfect and clever he is. So every time he tries to step on humanity, here expressed via Akari, him getting slapped in the face is hilarious. And okay, third thing. It's a good way to establish Akari's character and what she values, a way of hammering home Igor's character, like you were saying, and what he values, and a way to make it so the killer mad scientist won't be haunting the nightmares of the show's intended audience, because he's a scary guy if he's never funny. Because if he's just a full-on killer mad scientist, that's scary. That's really intense. He's a fascist scientist. Like, that doesn't lead to good associations. Like, if this is a morally inverted thing where Lex Luthor takes pot shots at Superman. Like, you don't like when Lex Luthor does that because he hurts a decent guy and usually everyone in said decent guy's vicinity. But at the same time, you got to admit that he's throwing his middle finger up at a demigod. And it's hard not to respect that kind of audacity. Like, how brave you gotta be to be like, hey, Superman, you can melt my brain with your eyes from 30 miles away? F you, dude. Just sit and spin. Just, like... and like, the whole... Again, like, we talked about it earlier when you, Cannibal, had put up the, your response is as ghoulish as it is unwelcome. Like... Because from people who are like, yeah, I want him to slap her back. Because I'm like, why do you want to see that? Because it's cool when dudes in suits hit each other in ways that are alternately humiliating or just painful. But if a lady in normal clothes does it, well, that's the real blow to men, because that's a reasonable thing to think.
Also, Anna, you made one mistake.
Oh, did I?
Imitating Lex Luthor, you weren't doing that in the style of the recent Batman v Superman.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet. I don't intend to. I saw Man of Steel and I wanted to die.
Yes, I wanted you to do that because the Lex Luthor in that movie is so like horrible that I want to see how you would kind of do your take on it.
I could do my Bane voice. No, wait, we already established I can't do that. I'm sorry, Sona. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Sorry. Don't fight me. I apologized.
Yes.
Okay.
And I think this is the part where I have to quote Rob's, or on Tumblr, Medic Roidmute, quote, which is, also, if you're listening, shout out to Rob, if you are listening to here. Hey, nice. But anyway, basically, if you can't appreciate a nasty, pathetic fascist getting the shit smacked out of them by a powerful scientist, you got bad taste.
That is the truth. I will tattoo that on me somewhere.
Yeah.
Like that. That's it right there. Like, why do you want the horrible fascist to win?
Yeah.
Or to get comeuppance.
Well, because he's
or, like, or to lady. Get not get comeuppance to give. Yeah, like how messed up are you that you're taking it on that level instead of this dude wants to murder everyone?
I also have to add that, yeah, I also said this once, but like, if Igor were in real life, he's probably like the most likely person in the show would probably like go on like the Reddit's like horrible like atheist YouTube atheist circles
without
and, like, quote Nick and like quote Nick Land or something. Yeah, so it's like, yeah, he 100%
really
deserved that.
Really should not be defending this guy on any level.
No, absolutely not. So, and the next,
if one of the people who put up that post is one of our listeners, sorry for dragging you so hard, but you were really freaking wrong.
And well, I know that Medic Roidmute does listen to us. What else? So, hey, you know, again, thank you very much. Give us a shout out if you have listened to this episode. Probably. I don't know, how many listeners did we have?
In the multiple dozens, last I heard.
Ah, yes, I'm still in two digits, but we'll get there.
In the kind of mid to high two digits, though. So.
Yeah. We'll get to the three digits soon.
One day.
Maybe. One day. I don't know, maybe we'll talk about, like, I don't know, when we'll talk about Amazon, I guess, because I haven't seen anyone do Amazon's podcast yet.
We'll get there. I still have to watch the last episode.
Yes.
It's been a rough couple of days. And also, I'm not ready.
The last episode may surprise you, either positively or negatively.
Don't say anything.
Because
I haven't watched it. But I'm not ready.
Okay. Well, episode, it's the last. Anyway, was the last, and speaking of last, and also speaking of powerful scientists, was Akari's growth real in this episode? Alain obviously learned something, but needed to prove himself to Sanzo. Was Akari's purpose, what was Akari's purpose in becoming an idol?
And I feel like Akari's growth in this episode was very real. I know I've talked a lot about her, but, you know, Amit wrote the question, so I'm going to talk about her again. Akari is very tied to science, and a large part of her growth in the show as a whole is learning that there's more than just what pre-existing science says, because pre-existing science once said the Earth was flat and that, you know, everything revolves around the Earth, and look how not correct that is. And, you know, Akari is very about science is learning and exploring all of the options around you. Even if you've been told something is not true, ghosts aren't real, she kind of now knows that they are, and is learning from it, and learning how science affects that. And through all of that, she's become much more open to the supernatural and learning the science of the supernatural, and become much more open to the perspectives of the very devout Buddhists in her life and what they bring to the table. And I think this episode did a lot, both of these episodes, to expand Akari's beliefs in other people and what they bring. You know, everyone has a dream, and no one who's pursuing their dream is taking the easy way. Even if it's something that she might view as silly or frivolous or very simple, you know, kind of the way that I've talked about her seeing idols, it might have a lot more under the surface than she understands. And the purpose of Akari becoming an idol was to learn the value in that and the value in the things that she doesn't yet understand. And I very much believe that's what happened. Elaine and Akari both learned that they are equal to others who have a fundamentally different perspective on things than they do, and they learned it in very different ways for very different reasons to very different ends, but that's what they're both taking away from what they experienced in this arc. Akari, as a physicist, is putting in just as much work and effort as Honami is as an idol, because it's something that both of them love and believe in.
Which, I think that's a really elegant way of putting it, I gotta say. Because, and me, I'm just gonna sort of spin out from there, just because I really like that Akari becoming an idol, driving home that being good at one thing, like physics, or in the case of Elaine, being a prince, does not necessarily mean you're gonna be good at everything, but if you are willing to put in the effort, you can get, you know, you could understand why someone would be good at it, or what it would take to get good at it, which, look, that is an important thing to know. And it also drives home for us in our build-up to the finale, like, what is her deal? She's about hard work, she's about taking things seriously, she's about helping people, and she's also about not going pure ego, which, of course, sets her up as a great contrast to Igor. She's willing to take a fall and look like a jerk and risk being booed and hated, because I don't know what it's like with idol groups, but I know with, like, any sort of band, like rock and roll band, it's like, oh, hey, you're that new vocalist who came in. Yeah, you completely destroyed the band. Way to make everything suck, dude. Like, she's willing to take that hit and sort of go down in like, idol culture history as the person who almost wrecked Harpy 4. And she's doing that because, like, this is not her dream. This is someone else's dream, and she's going to help that other person get to their dream because she understands, oh, it has worth, and Akari knows that idol is not for her, but that's also totally okay. Because it's not that it's... Like you were saying, it's she's as good as someone else because, no, these people aren't in competition. She is not in competition with Honami.
It's like, it's not Honami, I'm better than you because I'm a scientist and you sing.
Yeah, I'm useful, you're like, not.
It's like, no, what you do, I understand now that what you do has worth, and I now understand the worth in it, and I hope that you make it.
Yeah, exactly, like, and it's beautiful, like, because she's, again, she's just there for someone else, and I love it. I like when people are there for each other.
And it's girls being there for girls.
Yeah.
And that's important. Because, man, girls are portrayed as petty and competitive and things, and I'm still quietly upset about, you know, Rena.
Yeah, no, you should be. Because, look, yeah. I know we were all kind of like, yeah, this show's really sidelining her, and you showed up to defend her from us. Because like we were going a little hard, you know, on the way the show was handling her, and you were like, no, here's the best possible way you can read it, and then that showed the tree.
Yeah.
And
no, there's all these really good possible things that they're doing with Rena, and just, oh no, never mind.
Yeah, they betrayed you.
Never mind.
I should not use that loaded language. Yeah, you did. You tried so much harder than that show deserved.
You see, people, this is what I didn't even give any, I didn't even had any positive expectations here, so I don't know.
Look, it's...
I warned you all.
I know. I was there in the first episode going like, boy, this doesn't look good.
Yeah, but...
Look, I was there in the first episode like, well, this looks better than Gaim. That's really all I could bring to the table at that point, but I'm like, okay, everyone is potentially interesting. And, you know, lady scientist.
Yeah.
That's all I want, and I wanted to defend her, because, man, they were, early on, there was some real good stuff, and then just, no. Never mind, it didn't happen. Look, I wanna have the best expectations of everything because I want to enjoy things.
We all do.
I want, even if I stuck around for 26 episodes of Gaim, and from episode 1, I wasn't feeling it. But I wanted to believe. And I wanted to give it the best shot that I could. Because I wanna enjoy everything.
Yeah, and but indeed, but this ghost, as you said, it this is better than Gride. That is true. And it also has like a Like, it only took them a year to do it right, but, you know, finally, we had Akari, so...
Yeah. Yeah, we did. It's nice, like, we've said before, I will say again, I like that from here on in with Rider stuff, there will be, like, there is going full Ichijo, which is one thing, and then there's going full Akari, which is its own thing, and that's great.
Yeah. We finally get, like, more categories for that.
Yeah, it's nice. Man.
Ghost has really good side characters.
Yeah.
Ghost has good.
Ghost is a good.
Yeah. Again, I'm blaming the drive producer for Reno because I can't imagine that Sanjo or Hasegawa after Double.
It probably most likely is the producer.
They have written a woman scientist who got me into Kamen Rider. So, I really can't imagine that they could screw her up that badly on their own.
So, yeah. So, yeah, the lesson today...
And again, Hasegawa's writing Akari.
Yeah.
So, look, the math doesn't lie.
I think I theorized this before, but I think even Hasegawa was, like, looking at, like, the story, like, sort of things as he was, to-do lists that he was given for the show, and it's like, okay, so what do I get to do? Oh. Okay, I guess I'll do this now.
Well, I'll try. And make this good.
Yeah. And then finally with Ghost, it's like, ooh, Akari, I can make it. Ah, this is great stuff. I can
finally
definitely work with this.
I can fix it.
Wait.
Yeah.
Can I have her slap the dude? I'm going to have her slap the dude. And they let it go through. Score.
And he's like, can I have her slap the dude? And she's just, and you know, her actress is definitely like, I want to slap the dude. Let him make me slap the dude.
Should just title, man. We should make a whole Ghost Saga movie out of her. Akari slaps everyone.
I
want a Ghost Saga movie that's all three of the girls just beating everyone up.
Nice.
Now, which all three of the girls? Because there's
all three of the ghost ladies.
Okay, all three of the ghost ladies. Because I wasn't sure if you meant all three of the ghost ladies or all three of the great writer lady scientists.
I mean, I would also love
Enokita,
that.
Enokita, Osawa, Akari. Just going through.
I mean, I would also pay money for that movie.
Just
but,
Akari,
you know,
I
want
winding up slapping Hojo across the face.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that's three. I don't think that's limited to just three. I can think of couple more.
I mean, there's also, you know, there's Midori. There's a lot of great lady scientists in Rider.
There was that one. Scientist at the beginning of Agito who actually,
she got dead though. Yeah, she got dead.
Well,
so.
This is Ghost, so she can be.
Yeah, no, just get her back. Yeah. No one's dead here.
Well, it's Kamen Rider. No one's dead anyway.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Let's see.
But unfortunately, she's a woman. So.
Yeah. Well.
But, you know, I would pay for a movie that's, like, all of the Rider Lady Scientists, because that is my dream.
Oh, yeah. How do we...
That is my heart... No, that should just be the superhero Tyson. All of the Rider Lady Scientists and all of the Sentai Lady Scientists get together to beat someone up.
Nice.
Writes itself.
Yes. Alright. And, yeah... I think that's a good note for us to end on. So next episode will definitely, which will definitely come out somewhere in the future, we'll talk about episode 38, Return, the Soul of Heroes, which is pretty exciting.
And 39. I don't know the title of that offhand, but we're gonna be talking about those two.
Yeah,
so,
I'm gonna be
screaming loudly about more characters that I love unconditionally.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to 38 and 39. 39, which is like, wow.
I haven't watched 39 yet, so.
Okay.
Don't say things. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet.
Okay, I won't say anything, but yeah, just, you know, we're gonna do those, and, yeah, we'll, see you next time. So, this is the Uncommon Cast RX of the Trial of Heroes Network, saying, I'm not Ahmet, but I am Cannibal Sarathanian.
And I'm Aleph.
And I'm Sono.
We'll catch you next time. Bye-bye. Ooh, ghost knows it.